open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Are you surprised? By the time he's through with us on this, I think our Bibles will just fall open to Luke chapter 9. Glory to God. He's still dealing with the power of God. I'd like to give you some previews of coming attractions, because the way he's been speaking through me the last few services, it's like, yes, little wallpaper believer, Mary Wallpaper, Joe Public, you have the power of God. Like this morning, you know, I'm a power pack. Wasn't that good? I've got the anointing of God, and I've got miracle working power. And that is absolutely true. But then there's you can go another route, another teaching, which is also just as valid. And that's out of 1 Corinthians 12. Well, wait a minute. It says, are all miracle workers? And the obvious answer is no. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Obvious answer is no. So, you know, you're sitting out there and you're going, okay, now, which is it? I'm just Mr. Joe Public, pew sitter, average guy, Mary Wallpaper, average lady. What am I supposed to be believing for? Am I one of those called to the working of miracles, or am I not? Should I be believing? Am I a power pack, or am I not? Well, we're going to deal with that specifically in a future lesson. Sadly, that's not the lesson tonight. You're pretty sure I couldn't deliver that in 40 minutes anyway, right? Okay. But let me just tell you this. It's both. I'll just give you a preview. Not everybody's called to be an apostle. I'm not called to be an apostle. Okay. Not everybody's called to that. Not everybody is called to the ministry of, on a regular basis, working of miracles. If you'll study in history, you'll find out. Even within that, like people that are really into that all the time, even within those groups, they would have certain tendencies, or let's see, there are ministries of that. I mean, that's what you do pretty much. That's your main thing, and it happens all the time. But listen, every single one of us has the life of Christ within every believer. You have got the life of Christ within you, and you've got the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon you. If you've got that anointing of the Holy Ghost, you have got the power, because the power is the Holy Ghost. Jesus himself didn't do any miracles without the Holy Ghost. He never did a single one before the baptism, when he got baptized in water, and also that same day baptized in the Holy Ghost. So it's both. Yes, you are to believe. And these signs shall follow those that believe. They shall cast out devils. You have authority. Yes, you see, he knows the Bible better than me. You know, this is what he's talking about. Remember when they asked him, who are you? Are you Elijah to come? Are you this one or that one, you know? And he says, listen, talking about John. He said, born of women, there has not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Remember that? Now, let's just stop right there. Let's think. Born of woman, isn't that everybody? Elijah? How many miracles did Elijah do? How many miracles did John the Baptist do? You start comparing that way, and you think, well, man. But he said, born of woman, there has not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. However, that person that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. Now that's where we are right now. You're greater than John the Baptist, which means you are on a different plane. What does greater mean? You're on a different level, higher level. Are you ready? No, I'm getting ready to duck. Than Moses, Elijah, King David, Noah. He that's in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. And John was greater than all that were born of woman. We're a whole different species of being. Miracles are to be normal through us. Miracles is, like I say it this way, miracles are like packages from home. Remember when our troops go overseas and they're fighting overseas? They say there's nothing better than a package from home. Isn't that right? Hey, on this planet, trust me, there's nothing better than a package from home. But in that package that you'll be delivering, in that package is miracles, healings. It's wonderful. All right. That was free. There's no extra charge for that. We'll be teaching on that in great detail. But it's both. Not everybody's called to be an apostle. I'm not, as far as I know, you never said a thing to me about being an apostle. And not everybody's called to miracles like that's their main ministry that they do all the time. But I'm telling you right now, every believer has authority over every devil. And that's why we're to cast them out. And every believer has power to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Amen? Getting on to tonight's message, Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Let's talk about power. It says, then he called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority. I want to talk about that phrase. Power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. So just say, now, in the very next chapter, he calls the 70 and does the same thing. And then in Mark 16, he says, now every believer, they will, in my name, they will cast out devils. First it's 12, then it's 70, then it's those that believe. I think we're in that group. Cast out devils and lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Amen. So when he does that, he gives you power and authority. Quickly, now again, those two Greek words don't normally occur in the same verse. It's usually one or the other. Power is dunamis, and that means raw, dynamite, explosive power. The other one is exousia, and it's where we get our word authority. And that would be the word like the police officer, like Aaron, like I said this morning, when she was 110 pounds and couldn't stop a bus for nothing with her own dynamite. She didn't have any power like that to stop the bus. But she had the authority of all the city of Tulsa behind her. And if it come to it, then you've got, if there's a rebellion in Tulsa, then the state of Oklahoma comes. And if that's not enough, the government comes. And all of that is involved in that uniform that she wears. And that uniform gives her authority. And that bus, when she raises up her hand, it better stop. Well, those devils, when you speak, they're going to have to obey you. But if they won't, that's why he also included power. Now, you got to understand that power is not yours. That power is the Holy Ghost. Jesus himself did no miracle. He did no mighty work. He never cast out a devil, nothing, till he himself was baptized in the Holy Ghost the same day he was baptized by John in the Jordan River. That power of the Holy Spirit, that baptism, that is the dominion. That is the dominion of the Holy Ghost. Amen? All right, so when he says, he gave them dunamis, power, and authority over all devils. Back up now to Luke chapter 4. That phrase in the Greek, where it says power and authority, there's three Greek words. Power is dunamis, G1411, and is G2532, and authority is G1849. What I mean is that's the Strong's numbers of those three words. I want you to see that exact same phrase in Luke 4. Luke 4:36. And the reason this is important, Luke 4 is where Jesus defeated the devil in the wilderness. Right after he himself was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, once he got baptized in the Holy Ghost, he started being about his Father's business. I mean, from that point on, we see him going about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil. So, well, I'm wanting verse 36, but let's start in verse 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. Now, today, we'd say it this way. There was a devil-possessed man sitting in church. Devils go to church? Oh, yeah, they'll come and sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Oh, yeah, they'll come. Religious devils. Well, this guy had an unclean devil, and he was in the synagogue, and he cried with a loud voice. I don't know what Jesus was preaching, but whatever it was affecting that devil. And he said, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace." That's real nice King James for shut up. Be quiet. And come out of him. Now notice, when the devil had thrown him in the midst, the guy, he threw him in the midst, he came out of him, and he hurt him not. Now what caused that devil to come out? It's the power. It's the dunamis. It's the Holy Spirit that Jesus just got baptized with just the very chapter before this one. And then he had to go be faced with... Adam had dominion. You remember? Let him have dominion. But then came the temptation, and the first Adam fell. Okay? At the baptism of Jesus, I'm not going to go through that again, but that was coronation day. That was coronation day for the second man, the last Adam. And he received the dominion of the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist saw it. He saw the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove. From that day forward, Jesus goes forward to conquer. And he starts... Can I say cleaning up God's garden? If the earth is God's garden. And he saw an enemy had done terrible damage to the garden of God. And everywhere he saw it, he saw human beings oppressed and possessed and whatever, all those words, demonized and all those words, you know. And he starts cleaning, repairing, doing away with all of this damage that the enemy had done. That's why he would pray, "Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Because what's going on here, for the most part, is not God's will. Otherwise, why pray that? Religion will tell you everything that happens is God. That's not true. It's real nice. That's not true. Otherwise, why pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We've come to bring God's kingdom on the scene. Wherever the enemy has brought destruction. Anyway, we haven't got to my verse yet. Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What word is this?" Now here it is. "For with authority and power..." I should have had you hold your place at Luke 9. Go back and pinch that together. This and Luke 9. Authority and power. In Luke 9 it says, "He called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority." If you look it up, it is the exact same three Greek words. Jesus, he cast out devils with exactly the same thing that he gave the 12 to cast out devils. And then exactly the same that he gave the 70 to cast out devils. And then exactly the same in Mark 16 that he gave to believers to cast out devils. We have power and authority. I'm going to say it, keep saying it till you're tired of me saying it. The authority, where does that come from? The name that is above every name. In my name they shall cast out devils. In my name. That is the authority. We go forward in his name. You also go forward by his direction. See, we don't want to get off in the ditch and you start thinking you can just run off and do anything that you want. No, there is a mind of Christ. And that's why he's given us the Holy Ghost. So we don't have to be orphans. We don't have to be trying to figure out what to do next, where to go next, what to do. If you pray, the Holy Spirit will direct your paths. He'll bring you the mind of Christ. Sometimes you hear a voice. Sometimes you understand. Sometimes you just don't know why you made that decision. But later on, you'll look back and go, "Boy, that was God." If you pray. If you don't pray, you're probably making those decisions on your own. And do you know what? He will still bless that all that he can. That's most of my relatives. That's how they serve God. And he blesses that all that he can. He says you can't even give a cup of cold water in his name and lose your reward for it. If you're doing your best to serve him, even if it's you're not being really led by the Holy Ghost, you're doing it all pretty much from your own mind, but still you're doing you're in your mind doing your best to serve him, he'll bless that all that he can. See, what if I had not obeyed him? And I'll be honest with you, I came really close to not obeying him. They're going all the way back now. The very first thing that Sue and I had going in the earth was a Bible study that he told us to start. It wasn't our idea, you know. We both got the information different ways. I kept hearing it that we needed to, and I was receiving instructions. I know who to invite. I knew how to do it. He told me what group he was after. But Sue and I, we hadn't talked about it, you know. And so I asked her one day. I said, "Is God saying anything to you about us starting a Bible study here at the house?" She said, "Well, all I know is every now and then I get a picture on the inside, like a billboard out in our front yard saying, 'Bible study tonight. Welcome.'" I said, "I think that is confirmation." So we started the Bible study. In that case, I knew who to invite. He told me it was people that had... See, that was in 1960... No. 1996, I think it was. Might have been 95. It's been a while. Anyway, and we knew a group of people that got saved with us back about 1980. So it had been 15 or 16 years. And some of them were still doing okay, but many of them through afflictions and persecutions and the cares of this world and hurt in churches and whatever, many of them had just kind of fallen away. They weren't going to church anymore. They weren't really serving God anymore. They weren't necessarily like backslid all the way back into the bars, but they weren't really serving God. And he reminded me of those people. And he said, "For various reasons, they're not really serving me now." He said, "They don't hate me or anything, and they would love to come and learn about me, if you would make it not very churchy." And that's the words that he used. "If you'd make it not very churchy." And he said, "Treat them like family. Come into your living room. And they would like to come and learn. But it needs to be..." He didn't use this exact phrase, but the way I understood it, it needs to be a very non-religious atmosphere. Okay? So I knew who to invite. And we sent out, I don't know, 30, 35 letters and just telling them basically what we were going to do. And you come in your blue jeans. If you smoke, okay, we'll open up the windows. You know, we're just trying to get them in the doors, you know. We didn't care. And so, boy, and those were the days when money was staying away in great abundance. We didn't have hardly two nickels to rub together, but we wanted to serve them something. If company's coming, don't you serve them something, you know? So we wanted to have something. I remember this one time, I don't even know if we had a full $5. We had a few dollars. Sue, I said, "We got to have something." So she went to Big Lots, if you all know where Big Lots is over here. And for the amount of money we had, she could buy this biggest box of tea bags I ever saw. I don't think it was Lipton. It was some kind of off-brand, you know. But big box of black tea bags. And she come in with this giant box. What is the name of that cookie? Thank you. I about forget my own message here. Ginger snaps. Ginger snaps are okay, but, you know, do you ever see ginger snaps and tea? That's what we had, and they loved it. It was fine, you know. The atmosphere was good, and, well, we ran that for like 2 years, and it started off with not a whole lot of people. I was saying at the beginning of this tonight, by the end, though, we were having, on the average, 55 people. Some nights it was even more than that. Well, our little living room was just packed. I mean, you had to step over people just to try and walk to the bathroom down there, you know. Now, what are you going to do when it's 75 people? What are you going to do when it's 100 people? You're going to have to start meeting somewhere else. I wasn't even thinking that way. I mean, I look back on it now in retrospect, and I see exactly why the Lord did what he did. Because it would have, without even trying, it would have become a little church. And I would have been the pastor. And I'm not called to be a pastor. So anyway, we're just rocking along. Hey, and good things happened. People got saved there. People got healed there. I saw some people got baptized in the Holy Ghost there. Angie, who comes all the time and now working for the ministry, her husband Kevin got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost at that Bible study before they were ever married. And later on, I married. Good things were happening. And when that happens, something in you says, "Yes. Yes, I'm being used of the Lord. Yes, my dreams are coming true. Yes." Now, right on the other hand, money was staying away so bad, I would preach like we had all the money in the world and my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. But on the inside, I'm praying, "Oh, God, please don't let them shut off the electricity till after everybody leaves." Because we were behind on everything. You know? Well, anyway, took great faith at the time. But still, even with that, it was what I had going. And I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. The day came. I was just praying, getting ready for that. It was Bible study day, and we're preparing. And I heard as clear as I've ever heard the Holy Ghost in my life. Tonight is the last night. Tell everybody this is the end of the Bible study. There'll be no more. No more. Tonight is it. And then what's the next question, you guys? Why? The heavens were brass. I couldn't get anything out of him. All I knew, I didn't know if he was mad at me. I'll be honest with you, I kind of figured I must have been fired. That was a rough night. And I told them, what was their first question? Why? I'm going, I don't know. I just know what he said. Oh, by the way, when I heard it that afternoon, I went and I asked Sue again. I said, has he been saying anything to you about the end of the Bible study? And she said, well, I kind of knew he was coming to an end, but I didn't know it would be tonight. I said, well, apparently it is. Well, I look back at that now. Thank God I obeyed him. Thank God that I did, because he wasn't firing me like I kind of thought. He was promoting us. And, you know, many of those people, at least for a season, because we always told them, now, you know, we're not your church. We're just a Bible study. We always told them, if you want a good church, go where we go. Come to the prayer center. And some of them did for a while, and many of them didn't endure the purgings. Okay, in fact, none of them that I remember now endured the purgings. But you know what? They had a chance. They had a chance, didn't they? They had their shot. You know, I don't feel bad about it. I'm glad exactly. But what I'm glad that I obeyed him to start that thing. I'm glad that I obeyed him to end it. Really, what he did then, he started promoting us worldwide. It wasn't too long after that. We began traveling other places and ministering. Then he started taking us overseas. And eventually now it is a worldwide ministry, and I never leave home. But the teachings go around the world. He's touching the world, you know. And we're just in the beginning stages of that. We've hardly seen the very beginning. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. That same Holy Spirit that led us in those days, it wasn't up to me to start a Bible study. If I had it, he would have blessed it. If I'd come up with that on my own, even if it was never in his mind, and I just decided, let's say right now I just decided we're going to start a training center. That's it. I'm going to start a training center. Gary, has he said anything to you personally about starting a training center? No, not a word. But I think that's what needs to happen. That's what we're going to do. Do you know he will bless that all that he can? He will bless that. Never mind that he never called me to do it. Never mind that it's not really on his perfect path for my life. But he will bless that, and if I stay with it till I die, he'll bless it all that he can, because that's just who he is. But there is a vast difference between that and being led by the Holy Ghost. I prefer to be led by the Holy Ghost. I don't want to be in Ephesus when the Holy Spirit is saying, go to Macedonia. Isn't that right? I don't want to be in Asia when he's saying, go to Troas. I want to be where he says for me to be, doing what he says for me to be doing. Here we go again. Watch out. Did you see that between Luke 4 and Luke 9? He cast out devils with the same three words that he gave you in the Greek, power and authority. Look at it. Luke 4:36. They were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power, and that is the exact same words, exousia and dunamis. Later on to his disciples, I give to you dunamis and exousia. Then to the 70, I give you dunamis and exousia. And he might as well have said in Mark 16, to all believers, to those that believe, I give you dunamis and exousia. You have my name. You have the leadership of my spirit. And when you speak in my name, the Holy Spirit is there to manifest the very power of God. That's what we have got to get. We have got to understand that Holy Spirit will back you up. Luke 9 again. I guess we're going to... If the chapter starts off, Let's read it again, Luke 9. He called his 12 disciples together and he gave them power and authority over how many devils? All devils, and to cure diseases. All right? And we come on down to verse 37 in the same chapter, the very same chapter. And it came to pass that on the next day when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit takes him. Here we go again. When he says a spirit takes him, that's a devil, right? It takes him, and he suddenly cries out. Now notice these manifestations. This kid comes in crying out, it's the manifestations. It tears him. I don't know what that means. He may have been convulsing. What does that mean? Tears him. And he foameth again. This kid's got, he's foaming at the mouth like a rabid dog. Can you get the picture? He's coming in with tearing and foaming and it's crying out. And bruising him. And then if you take all of the passages together that describe this event, it says it'll throw him in the fire. It'll just throw him in the water. It's a suicide devil of some kind, apparently trying to kill the kid. And he wallows. One of them says he wallowed on the ground. And you're watching this. And you're trying to remember what Jesus said. Authority over how many devils? Ow! Flop, flop, flop. Foam at the mouth. Did the words of Jesus change? Did they not have authority over this devil? Did they not? Was the power of God not there to back them up? What I mean by that, the Holy Ghost, was he not there? But he says, I besought thy disciples to cast him out. And they could not. Now, later on, they ask him, we're going to get there in a minute, why could we not? Why? What is the reason we could not? You didn't give me enough power. You didn't give me authority over that kind of devil. I'm trying to imitate Dave's little flesh creature. Little, how's he say that? You nasalated voice of unbelief. You didn't give me authority. Did you see what that devil did? That thing was flopping like a chicken on the floor coming in. It's foaming at the mouth, crying out, foam coming out. Did you see the foam, Jesus? What, they were moved by what they saw. I'm convinced they were moved by what they saw, and it affected their belief. In fact, let's hold our place. Hold your place. Go to Matthew 17. Let's look at their account. Gives a little more, Matthew's account gives a little more detail. Matthew 17, I believe it is. Yeah. Matthew 17, we pick it up in verse 14. When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. Often he falleth into the fire, often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. The power that he had given them did not change. The authority that he gave them did not change. But the Holy Spirit, who is God, who is love, could not manifest his power because of their unbelief. See, that flies in the face of religion. Religion always magnifies the sovereignty of God. God does what he wants. Well, if God does what he wants, everybody will be saved. Everybody will be healed. You know, that's what God wants. James said he's the whole reason we haven't already, the end of this hadn't already come. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. He's wanting just one more person to get saved, you know. No, and it dawned on me. Here's the Holy Spirit with those nine disciples, the ones that didn't go up on the mountain. He is there with that throbbing, pulsating power. He is there to perform that miracle and cast that devil out. But the unbelief of the disciples, even though they had been authorized by Jesus, their unbelief held back the hands of an all-powerful God. That is just hard. No wonder Jesus was upset. How long? Look what he says to them. Is it? Yeah, verse 17. Oh, faithless and perverse generation. I'm not even, in plain English, there's something wrong with the way you think. What's wrong with you? Now that I've seen this in more context, he's going, don't you remember what I told you? That I gave you authority over this devil, all devils? And I told you that I gave you the power to cast them out. He was there to cast it out, but your unbelief held back his hands. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? In plain English, how long am I going to have to do this for you? I gave you the authority to do this. And the power of the Holy Ghost was there. I remember it dawned on my lightning quick mind after how many decades. My unbelief can hold back the hand of the all-powerful Holy Ghost. Maybe I ought to dust off those tapes of Pastor Dave about prayer and fasting. Because that's the only cure he gave. Look at verse 20. So Jesus said unto them, it's because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. You just don't know what's happening in me here lately. What's happening is the assimilation of the books is paying off in dividends more rapidly than it used to because I keep doing it. Because I've seen Luke 9:1 is the beginning of this. Now, because you don't get that in Matthew's account. See? That's why assimilation of the books is so vital. Now when I hear him say, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, now it's so clear to me. He just got through telling them, I give you power and authority over all devils. If you had faith, if you just had a little faith in what I said, if you just would believe that, not only could you deal with this devil, you could move a whole mountain because there's nothing impossible with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the power. And if you just have faith as a grain of mustard, if you just believe what I said, not only can you cast out this devil, you can move that mountain right there. Because nothing's too hard for the Holy Ghost. God, can y'all see that? I'm about to have a running fit standing right here myself. Got a message. I'm going to pass along a good testimony at Pastor Bronx Church in Immokalee. They had a little graduation service last night, and people came. This is people, it's young people that's attended the church for a while, and they have some kind of little graduation ceremony at a certain time. So friends and family came. The text says, Brother Gary, we had Acts chapter 10 happen. Y'all remember Acts chapter 10? That's Cornelius' house. Where while Peter was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell. Nobody laid hands on him, nothing. The Holy Ghost fell, and they all began to speak with other tongues. He said, we had 18 get filled with the Holy Ghost last night during the service, and nobody laid a hand on them. 18. He said, I've never seen anything like it before. We're coming into something. Better be ready. Coming into something. Glory to God. Isn't that good stuff? So now I understand verse 20 in a way that I never understood it before. No wonder he's saying, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, faith in what? Faith in my word. Faith in what I told you. I told you, I give you authority and power over all devils and to cure diseases. And you let this devil his manifestations affected. Like, what's that got to do with my word to you? Yeah, but this was a foaming Jesus. You don't know. He was foaming. What's that got to do with what I told you? If you had faith in what I told you, not only could you cast out that devil, you could speak to that mountain. There's, what's impossible for the Holy Ghost? That's what he's saying. But howbeit, verse 21, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Well, it's that kind of... both of those things have got to do with dealing with your five physical senses. I like how Dave said it one time. I don't know if it was me or somebody else. Could have been me, because this was my testimony. I tried fasting and I did not like it. I said, Dave, are you aware that fasting is hard? I said something real spiritual like that. Fasting is hard. I don't like it. He says, well, sounds like you're doing it correctly. It's supposed to be hard. Your flesh is not supposed to like it. And he said, fasting is something you can do at your own initiative, on purpose, to initiate a war between your spirit and your flesh. And in the middle is your emotions, and we'll find out who's boss. I did. Then you go back and you pray until you can fast again. But isn't that true? But see, fasting has to do with your emotions, has to do with what you see, what you feel. So does prayer. He'll start talking with you until you start hearing from the Holy Ghost. You can't get it out of you then. That's why people get in the line. You just don't know. Nearly, we hardly ever have a line of any size. I mean, if there's 20 or more people in the line, somewhere in there, and sometimes more than once, people are wanting direction. And what they mean by that, they're wanting me to give them the direction of the Holy Ghost. And if he says anything, I'll share that. It's not like I'll withhold it, but normally he doesn't. Why? The trial they're going to go through to obey the leadership of the Holy Ghost, they need something stronger than a word from Gary. They need to hear from the Holy Ghost themselves. They need to hear it from God themselves, because, I mean, the enemy will push you, and if you don't have it down to your socks, more than that, down to your toenails, you better have it down. You better know that you heard God, because he's going to come and test your ground. Find out what you believe, you know. So this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. I've only got a couple of minutes left. So let's finish up the same account over here in Luke 9. Go back to Luke 9 just for a moment. Let's pick it up in verse 41. Well, verse 40. I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. Now remember, the only reason they could not was their unbelief. They let the manifestations override the plain words that Jesus had given them. I give you authority and power over all devils. So Jesus answering, he said it to them, O faithless and perverse generation. You do know that's where we get our word pervert. Pervert. Your thinking is perverted. If you're thinking that these manifestations have anything to do with what I gave you, your thinking is perverted. You're not thinking right. Something is wrong with your brain. Those manifestations have got nothing to do with the power and authority I have given you. That's what he's saying. How long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. Now to me, that, you know what that sounds like? That devil, he's going, this worked on the nine. This worked on the nine. I started manifesting myself through that boy. And it moved the nine into unbelief. I'm going to try it on this one. So he starts trying it on Jesus. Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to thy father. And they were all amazed at the mighty what? Power of God. But while they wondered, everyone, at all the things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, and he's going on in here into what's going to happen to him. Now come on down to verse 49. We'll close here again. This is where he brought the little child and set him beside him and says, you know, be a little child. It amazes me that after such a colossal failure, the disciples are wondering which one of us will be the greatest in the kingdom. I just don't get that. But it made him, he brought the little child and he's going, this little child, if he, in my name, this little child, he's the greatest, you know. Be like a little child and just believe what I told you. But look at, that got John to thinking about this other person that they'd met. And he says, John answered, verse 49, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he follows not with us. And Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. Now, anytime the devil starts saying, well, you're not called to miracles. No, those are as the Spirit wills. And that's true now. Don't get me wrong. We're going to teach more on this. No, that's as the Spirit wills. And you're just not one of those called to miracles. No, that's not you. Well, now, wait a minute. Here's a guy that's not even born again. This guy has not been baptized in the Holy Ghost. This guy, we started off this message, Jesus said about John the Baptist, born of woman, has not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. So this guy would fall in that group, right? But he that is least in the kingdom of God, is greater than John. Well, that means greater than anybody else before John. This guy's before John. Well, he's before the resurrection. This guy had faith that the name of Jesus was above every name. I know his name is left out on purpose so that we can have faith. You mean this no-name guy just believed what Jesus said and he went out and he used the name of Jesus and commanded a devil to come out. Now get this. He was successful sometimes when the disciples were not. It's in the same chapter. They had just failed. Yet this guy, he was doing it. Don't tell me miracles are not for you. They are for you, believer. They are for you. It's in the same chapter for a reason. You don't have to have Jesus appear in your prayer closet, put his fingers in your palms, and tell you he gives you authority and power over all devils. He's already done that. You are already been given. Are you a believer? Then you have authority and power over every devil. You have a higher walk than Elijah, Moses. You're a different species of human, born of God, walking planet Earth. And it is time for us to be about our Father's business. In Jesus' name. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah. Praise God.